There are churches all over the world today that are singing basically the same songs we do. They read scripture. They love one another. But there's something missing. And I want to mention this before we get into our study tonight, because to a lot of people, the book of Revelation is an intellectual study rather than a practical one. But the one thing that we need to keep in mind is that while there are many, many churches that do things similar to us, the ingredient that is missing in many churches is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that anointing upon believers helps them to take the Word of God and to see the practical use for it today. The book of Revelation, the majority of it, covers a period of time in history called the Great Tribulation. And it talks about people other than us, because we're going to be in heaven. But the Holy Spirit wants us to realize that understanding what goes on during the tribulation is not just a mental understanding of facts that are going to come to pass. Instead, it is a motivation for those of us who are saved to reach out before it's too late. Not for us, but too late for the people that we love and care about that don't know Jesus. I mean, the song that was just sung, "In Jesus, I'm safe evermore." Yeah, that's for us. And we should rejoice and be glad in that. But at the same time, God gave us the book of Revelation to understand there are so many billions of people who cannot say that and never will be able to say that if Christians just sit back and think to themselves, well, I'm safe. So what does it matter about anybody else? Okay, I'd like for you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. And to him," it sounds like already more than a star. Do you think the word star represents something? Angels. "To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a furnace, and the sky and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." I want to, first of all, identify who this star is. It says it fell from heaven. that word fell sometimes simply means descended. This angel, whoever it is, since he fell, must be a fallen angel. And when we look at all that the Bible has to say about the devil, it's a fairly good, reasonable assumption that what this is talking about is Satan. Satan falling from heaven. I'd like for you to turn to Revelation chapter 12 for a second. We're going to go up ahead because this deals with this falling from heaven. Revelation chapter 12. Let's take a look at verse 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not,
Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole earth, or the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, when did all this happen? Well, one of the things we need to understand is the book of Revelation also deals with history. We know that from studying the seven letters to the seven churches. Each one of those churches was a church age. And the Bible gives us a background of what the church was doing or not doing in each one of those time periods. So each letter was sent to a time period. And what we see in that is history. For us, it's pretty complete because we're at the last church age, and everything before us, those other six letters, dealt with time periods of the church history. But we also have the history of people. We have the history of angels, fallen angels. We have Satan cast out of heaven. I'd like for you to take a look at verse 12 here. It says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time." Devil's come down with great wrath. It's kind of a scary thing to realize that the devil will now have full ability to do pretty much whatever he wants to do. We've read about the Holy Spirit being withdrawn. Now it talks about his restraining ministry. It's going to be withdrawn. I know some of you have given thought to what it might be like, since there are so many people today saying defund the police, do away with police departments. And you can just imagine what chaos, crime, and everything else would take place if there was no restraining power on the earth, if there was no law enforcement. And pretty much that's what the Holy Spirit has done down through the centuries. He has restrained the devil from having full reign. Now, we can only imagine how bad it's going to get. And in the worst of your imaginations, it's going to be kind of hard to comprehend how bad things will get when the devil has free reign. Because the Holy Spirit isn't going to stop him. The Holy Spirit says, "Okay, world, you made a decision. There's a choice. You can choose to follow God, or you can choose to follow the devil. And the world has chosen. We're going to follow the devil. We're going to do what the devil wants us to do." And so you have people who have yielded themselves to the devil. People you know, maybe even relatives, friends. And you pray for them. You want to see them saved before it's too late. But they have already made a decision against God and for the devil. Now, what happens when they get to do whatever's on their mind, whatever they want to do? It's going to be a very horrible time here on this earth. I'd like for you to go to Luke chapter 10. Hold your place in Revelation, but go to Luke 10. This is talking about that same event, Luke 10. And we're given some history here about the devil, what happened, how he got down here on the earth. Luke 10, let's take a look at verse 18. Jesus said, "He said unto them, I beheld Think about it now. Satan as lightning. Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, this is the very same thing it's talking about in Revelation chapter 12. And I think one of the key things that we need to look at and remember about this event, Satan was cast out of heaven with his angels. Exactly when this took place, we'll find out later. But for now, we simply need to understand that Satan has no place in heaven at all. His angels have been cast out. And he may periodically meet before God. Certainly he did in the confrontation with Job. You remember the Lord pointed out Job and said what a righteous man that he was. And the devil said, well, he'll blaspheme you to your face and so on if things really get bad on him. And there was a confrontation there. Also in Revelation chapter 12, it talks about the Lord being our protector, our defender, that the devil comes before us and he's called the accuser of the brethren. And he will come and the things that you do, he will bring before the Father and say, look at them. Look what they did. They say they love you. See, he couldn't do that with Job. He couldn't find anything. What could he find about you? Well, the good thing is, Jesus, before the Father, as our great high priest, says the sacrifice for sin has already been paid. It's already been done. Now, when it talks about the devil coming down with great wrath. Now, remember that. Great wrath, not just wrath, but great wrath. And it's important for us to see what takes place as the fifth seal unfolds. This is that great wrath. Verse 4, it says, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, here in chapter 12, we see that he has a mission. He wants to stop Jesus. He wants to stop Jesus. Too late. Jesus already came, walked perfectly on this earth, never sinned, was crucified, and much to the disappointment and even anger of Satan, Jesus rose from the dead and was victorious for us. Let's go back to chapter 9. In verse 3, it came out of the smoke. Well, let's take in verse 2, I'm sorry. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Locusts. Right now, especially up in Virginia, they're having swarms and swarms of locusts. This is the 17-year locust. Every 17 years, they come out in full force. And I've read reports, historical accounts, that locusts so bad in the Middle East, they were so bad that they darkened the sun, couldn't see the sun. There were that many of them. Now, I want you to think about what's up ahead for people. People that you and I know. This isn't something you can just cast off and say, well, I don't know these people who are going through the tribulation. If you know a lost person, unless they get saved, they live on, when the tribulation begins, it's going to be a horrible, horrible time for them. And their worst nightmares will come to pass. Why? Because the Bible says the devil has come down with great wrath. With great wrath. And you say, wait a second, they're on the devil's side to begin with. Yes. Don't lose sight of the scripture that says For God so loved the world. Does that include saved people and lost people? Both. God so loved the world. And the devil says, you know, he's got the saved people with him in heaven, but he's got these lost people down here and he still loves them. He still loves them. I'm going to get it, God. I'm coming down and I want to destroy these people made in God's image. I want to destroy them. And so the devil prepares, and he's been preparing for years. And there are places all over the earth that open up. Fissures, fault zones. And up through these fissures come what appear to be smoke, but it's just the thickness of locusts. Now, let's look at what a normal locust looks like. Not a nice critter. There are reports from antiquity that the people used to eat them because they were so plentiful. They said, why let them go to waste? And so they would take them. Sometimes they would eat them as is. A lot of times they would cook them, and they'd mix them with honey. There was somebody known for that. John the Baptist. And they would eat these things. Now, I'm sure they would take the legs and everything off from them. But the Bible says locusts. So either this was the best word that John had in his vocabulary to describe this, or they really were locusts. And if they were really locusts, and it doesn't say as if it was a locust, doesn't say that, but it says literally locusts. There are a lot of things that most people haven't seen of creatures that God has made that just defy all reason and logic. As they have gone deeper and deeper into the oceans, they have found some of these most amazing creatures. Some of them fish with a pole coming from their heads and a little light on the end. A light. That's right. At the bottom of the ocean, they have a light. And God created that light that would attract smaller fish to them so that they could just swallow them because of their closeness. God made it that way. They're finding other new species of animals, fish and otherwise, down at the bottom of the ocean. Now, if we keep going past the bottom of the ocean, you're going to get through the Earth's crust. And there is molten material. It's so hot. How could they possibly survive? Well, I heard somebody mention one time after they had moved to Florida and it was a particularly hot summer, they asked the question, how do these roaches survive? Animals are able to adapt much more than what we think. And here from the center of the earth are animals that have been trapped. Living beings, locusts. And they dealt with the heat, but they're unusual critters. They have power in their sting. It says that they're like scorpions. Now, we know of an awful lot of different types of medications. There are medications for people who have committed suicide. Or tried to commit suicide, rather. And it is to take away the desire to end one's life. There are just so many psychotropic drugs on the market today that try to hinder certain types of behavior. Most of you are familiar with the world's solution for overactive little boys?
Ritalin.
Oh, well, don't teach the parents how to raise the kid. Don't tell anybody how to deal with the child, because there have always been overactive kids, haven't there? There always have been. But the solution today is to give some drugs. Now, if man can come up with a drug that is to make a person so droggy that they're no longer aggressive, they can also come up with a drug that slows down the idea of suicide. But when you put Satan on the medical team and you have Satan empower locusts with a sting, with a toxin, that when it bites people, they lose their ability for suicide. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. Did we see the swarms of these things? Look at this. How can you escape? How can you escape? Imagine if each one of these were mosquitoes. You'd want to put stocks into Red Cross, because they would be taking so much blood. But I want you to see how dense these things can be. Can animals be demon possessed? Yeah, they can. And what we're looking at, and I think you'll see in a little bit, these are living creatures that have been held below the crust of the earth and suddenly are released by this fallen angel, Satan. They come to the earth and they sting people, and the people who would want to die because the sting is so painful. And not just one. I mean, here's this swarm around this guy. How many times do you think, if these locusts had the ability to sting, how many stings he would have in a matter of minutes? In a matter of minutes. And these swarms go from place to place all over the entire earth. Scary. As if the world wasn't scared enough. Now they have something else to be frightened from. And it's important for us to realize that this particular thing, God is allowing Satan to carry it off, to pull it off, so that man, who really wanted to follow Satan rather than God, can understand Satan wanted to kill you after all. Satan wanted to kill you after all. There was a book written by one of the satanic high priests. And in that book, he accounts for a number of satanic worshipers, people who were part of a coven, who, when they had fulfilled whatever the coven wanted them to do, they were used as sacrifices. Sometimes on an altar, sometimes in a car accident, sometimes in some other way. In other words, Satan kills his own. People think, man, if I serve Satan, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to have fame. People are going to love me. People are going to appreciate me. And it goes that way for a little while. That's the lure. But then all of a sudden, Satan says, I'm tired of you. And they die. And they're sent into Satan's domain in hell. He fell from earth. He comes down here with great wrath. Great wrath. We have the demon-possessed animal. Can you think of any case of demon-possessed animals? Mm-hmm. At Gadara, Jesus sent the demons into the pigs. What did the pigs do? Did the pigs get rich? Did the pigs beat people out of their bacon? No. They ran off the cliff and drowned. Then what happened to the demons? They're looking for other animals, aren't they? Could there be demon-possessed fish? Yeah, sure. Because what are demons? Demons are spirits that desire to inhabit a body. And sometimes when they can't inhabit a human body, they will inhabit whatever lives, whatever they can find to get into. Personally, I've met a few demon-possessed mosquitoes. And shortly, they had to go searching for another body. But seriously, we need to be aware of this reality, that demons want something alive to inhabit. And it's important for us, because sometimes you can be taken by surprise, unexpectedly, by the behavior of an animal. And it isn't rabies or it isn't anything else. It's that the animal had been demon-possessed. So keep that in mind. Now, what we're talking about here happens during the tribulation. And what it does, it neutralizes the desire of a person who says, I've had enough. We've had coronavirus. We've had protests. We've had looting. We've had crime. We've had the first sealed judgments come, and we've gotten through that, and now we have this. And look, there were people who wanted to kill themselves because of the coronavirus. That alone. Matter of fact, there are several hospitals that reported they had more cases of attempted suicide than they did of people who had the coronavirus. And so we're looking at the human nature not being able to handle very much, especially today. But you go a little further and you see all the things that are going to happen during the tribulation. Certainly people are thinking about dying. They have to be. It's got to weigh upon them very, very heavily. And so there they are wanting to die, and they can't. They can't. Look at all this that it talks about. In verse 4, it was commanded them, that is to the locusts, that they should not hurt the grass of any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Do you see the impact of this? What do locusts eat? Anything green, primarily. Anything green, trees, grass, what have you. When they're forbidden to eat that, what's left? People. People. Again, something that you do not want to see your loved ones have to deal with. Something that you do not want to see relatives, friends, people you work with, people you went to school with have to deal with. But it's coming. And I just want to emphasize once again, people have all sorts of predictions. And man's predictions are very, very flawed. I mean, the weatherman can't get things right for the very same day. And here they are predicting global warming. Here they are predicting what it's going to be like in a month or 2 months. Really? That's absurd. You have people predicting the economy. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. If you want a perfect illustration of a false prophet in the secular world, look at Dr. Fauci. And he keeps changing his predictions based upon opening his window and looking out and seeing whether people are dropping dead, or some other nonsensical data sheet that he gets in that day. And he's wrong over and over and over and over again. When it comes to predicting the future, there is no book like the Bible, because no man has been able to see all that God sees. God sees the future. And when he tells us such and such is going to happen, you can count on it. It's going to happen, because God doesn't lie. And we look at these accounts of horrible things happening to people. And to some people it sounds like a fantasy, like some made-up story. And I just remind you, God does not lie. Verse 5. To them it was given that they should kill them, that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. Can you imagine how many holes a person would have if a swarm of scorpions came and they were actually able to eat away flesh and sting them, cause great pain, suffering? Can you imagine? There probably wouldn't be a person in the right mind who wouldn't think the thoughts of suicide. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. Just hung on with life. How long? 5 months. This isn't over in a day. Somebody was mentioning to me not long ago, well, these judgments that come, it's just for a day or two, right? No. This is over in a long period of time. And are people going to die? Oh, yeah. A lot of people are going to die. But here are people who have been chewed on, gnawed on by these demonic locusts, and they want to die, but they can't, because the venom that has been placed in them is more powerful than any psychotropic drug that the pharmaceutical companies come up with. It is powerful enough to stop them from killing themselves. Verse 6, in those days shall men seek death, shall not find it, and they shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shape of the locusts were like the horses prepared to battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair like the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like the tails of scorpions. And there were wings that there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. I want you to see, somebody came up with an illustration. It's not perfect. Let's see the one. This is a rather frightening insect, bigger than what we think of as insects. You don't want these in your yard. Interestingly enough, they won't go after your garden like the real ones today will. We need to be aware that this is reality. This is coming. You know, so many things that the Bible predicted are coming to pass. You can interpret it as, a good thing. There are a lot of people today saying, oh, we're changing. We're changing for the better. Not this world. No. Things won't change for the better till Jesus comes. And there are an awful lot of people who want to take credit for short, very short periods of improvement. But the reality is, the Bible's always true. Men are wrong. Whether they get dreams and visions, men are wrong when they say that things are getting better and better, because the Bible says that in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And the Bible is always right. So I want you to think about what we've been looking at here, these creatures. Locusts invading from the bottomless pit. Why are they so terrifying? First of all, demons themselves are terrifying, aren't they? Because demons hate people. Human beings were made in the image of God. There's no other living thing on the face of the earth that was made in the image of the living God. We were. And for that reason alone, demons hate us. They hate especially believers, but let's face it, most of the believers will be in heaven, with the exception of the 144,000. They're going to be in heaven. So what's left? They don't care. They were still made in God's image, so they're going to go after them. They're going to go after them. And like the Bible says, Satan comes down with great wrath. He wants people to suffer. And if there ever was someone who knew about suffering and what it could cause, Satan had a deceptively evil mind to come up with all sorts of things that would bring pain upon people. These demons are terrifying because they are demon-possessed. Secondly, they have the authority to do what they do. The devil isn't going to stop them. God won't stop them until the determined time, which is 5 months. 5 months. Can you imagine the amount of terror that can build up in a period of 5 months? Getting up every day to the sound of swarms of locusts, of hearing them. Now, some of them, let's go back to the present. Some of them live in Florida. And some of you have already heard some locusts. They can be very, very noisy. Some of them, just normal locusts, can be terrifying. But imagine these that aren't going to bother your garden. They're not going to bother your plants. They're coming after you. They're coming after you. They have an avenging hatred for mankind. They can move more quickly than man can. They can fly and run. Unlike the locusts of today, they can bite with their teeth. Unlike locusts today, they can sting and inject venom, toxic material, into a person. So they're a little different in that respect. And they can torment with the noise of their wings. Can noise become terrifying?
Yes.
Does it bother you when some guy in a $500 car outfitted with $2,500 worth of boom boxes stops right beside the traffic light where you are and the whole ground shakes? Does that bother anybody beside me? Noise. Constant noise can literally drive a person insane. Depending on what kind. Sometimes you can get used to the noise of factories. You can get used to the noise of trains running by your house. Or you can get used to the noise if you live near a bay where there's a lot of shipping. of the freighters that are blowing their horn to let people know that the tugboats have left off and they're on their own power now. You can get used to stuff like that. I saw an interview one time. Some people in Chicago were being interviewed, and they lived in an apartment right next to where the L went by, the elevated trains. And as the elevated trains went by, the person doing the interview was talking, and suddenly you couldn't hear his voice at all. And everything was rattling. The woman had a vase on a table, and you could see it shaking. Everything was shaking. The camera was shaking. And the interviewer said to her, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to start again. Does this type of thing bother you? And she said, what thing? She had lived there for 10 years and had gotten so used to it, she didn't even notice when an L train went by. Didn't bother her. All the vibrations, everything going on, it didn't even bother her at all. But you see, here is 5 months of terrifying noise. Now, if you happen to hear a crowd of people down your street, and they were all shouting, and they were all drunk, and they were breaking into one house after another, coming toward your house, would it bother you with all that noise, knowing that they were getting closer and closer? What about the swarms of these locusts as they're pillaging one house after another, getting closer to yours? You know that they're coming. You know that there's no place you can run because they can outrun you. What are your feelings then? Are you terrified by the noise? Yeah, because you hear them coming, and they're getting closer and closer and closer. This is what the devil wants, and God allows it because of punishment for the people that are on the face of the earth, who have slapped him in the face and said, I don't want your salvation. I'm going to do my own thing. So let me alone. Don't tell me what to do. Look how many people that includes right now. You and I have a responsibility to show them not just that God loves them, because a lot of them already know that, but we have the responsibility of reaching them and telling them, you must be born again before it's too late. Before it's too late. I want to encourage you today, and I mentioned this before, but out of all the times of history that God chose to give you life, he chose this time. The time right before he comes for his bride, the church. And we need to be ready to give an answer to every man about their need for salvation. We need to be ready because the time is drawing short. Things can happen so very, very quickly. And if anything, if you've learned anything over the past 6 months, remember how quickly things can happen. How quickly prophecies can come and be fulfilled. And how quickly the Lord could come. Are you ready? You may be ready, but what about those people that you love? Well, I've got to be very politically correct with them because they might get offended. And again, I point out what the disciples said to Jesus. Master, knowest thou not that thou hast offended the scribes and the Pharisees? Yeah, he did. When you speak the truth, there are people who love the lie who will be offended. But you know, sometimes you have to offend some people to get them to start thinking, to shake them off of their weak, miserly soapboxes and make them think. And you see, our world isn't thinking today. If people just thought and understood that the Bible was always true about prophecy and everything else, if they would just stop and think that Jesus was the one, and there's all sorts of evidence that Jesus was the one who descended from heaven, came down here to be born as a babe, lived the perfect life, went to the cross, rose again, and that he's coming again. They need to understand that. Who better to teach them than somebody who loves them? You and me. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we do thank you today for your great love to us. We thank you, Father, that you have forewarned us of what will happen to people once we're taken out of the way. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would motivate us, shake us, stir us, and then anoint us that we may reach out and bring more people to you. Father, we just thank you for your patience with us, but we know that in your patience, there also comes a time where we won't have an opportunity anymore because you're calling your bride home. Help us, Lord, to use what time we have to glorify you. And we thank you again for all that you've done for us, for all that Jesus went through to pay for our sins. And we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit that will remind us of these things when we meet our loved ones and talk to them and write to them. Lord, I pray that we might continue to listen to your Holy Spirit as he shares your love with those who need it before it's too late. Lord, we ask your blessing on each one of us. Keep us safe, keep us well, that we may serve you in these last days. And we pray this in Jesus' name.